Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just want to let you know ahead of time, we are pre-recording this, do not call in for readings or anything like that this evening. As you know, we generally would take some callers, but we're not going to do that this evening. I'm really excited for all the feedback we've been getting from the website and everything, and I just want to bring you up to speed on a couple different programs that are coming up this week. This Saturday, which is November, I actually have the wrong date up there. This Saturday is not November 9th. This Saturday is actually November 2nd. This Saturday, November 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have World Youth Spiritual Teacher Jessica Schwab on with her friend Diego. We actually pre-recorded that show live from Bali. And she's going to be talking about her transformation. As you know from following Jessica on Facebook and YouTube and all the different training videos and everything, she was a great spiritual teacher in the industry. And she has basically kind of changed a lot of what she does, and she's created a project called the End of Fear Project. And we had a great interview with her and Diego to talk about that. If you want to hear that, you can hear that this Saturday at 8 p.m. We also have another show coming up that's going to be airing on Saturday, November 9th, 8 p.m. And we're going to be talking to Maya about her new film, a new spiritual movie that's coming out called The Game of One. And we're really excited about the promotion and everything behind that. So with that said, as always, if you want to find out about all the different shows that are coming up this week, we have Star Fuentes tomorrow night, and then Melissa Hebner and Dr. Connie within the Arms of the Angels coming up on Thursday. And those are all great shows that are lining up. So if you want to find out more about those or any other shows, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. All righty. So Pam Latour, who usually co-hosts this with me, was not available. So we want to say hello, Pam. And we're really excited to announce that tonight's show we have one of my dear friends, Lisa Lano. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm fine. It sounds like a great upcoming week. I want to be part of it all. I'm going to listen.
Yeah, of course. We got all kinds of great things coming up with Halloween and
stuff this week.
And so Lisa, for a lot of people who have heard her before, she was actually on the show right in the beginning when we launched Spiritual Connections Radio. So it's a great honor to have her back here with us. Lisa is from my hometown area of Springfield, Massachusetts, as I call it. And she is basically an intuitive psychic, also a spirit medium, and head of a group called Gone Paranormal. So I thought, what a perfect fit to have her, I was going to say Thanksgiving, but that's the wrong holiday. Well, I guess Thanksgiving would work also, because then you could just bring through all the family members at Thanksgiving dinner and really
stir
the drama.
True, and we've brought in quite a few of annoyed Native Americans as well.
So much for the sharing of the peace.
Uh-huh.
So oh, that's great. So she's going to be talking about a couple of different things. And so I'll just run through the normal background I love to give, which is Lisa was born in Boston, Massachusetts, first generation Italian. She's been involved in the paranormal industry since. I know from personally working with Lisa, I think she's absolutely amazing. She's the reverse of me. As you know from following my career, I'm basically every book, every person I can train under. And it's really a great honor for a couple different reasons to know Lisa. First of all, she is incredible. And I've actually worked with probably 100 different mediums around the world. And I've never met anybody who puts on a event, fundraiser, or public library event or anything like that that's more amazing than the work that she does. So it's a great honor to have you on.
Oh, thank you. That's a big compliment from you. You're picky.
and you know, more so because of the fact that she has no training, that she basically is out of the box, never read a book, never trained under anybody, and just is absolutely amazing. And in some ways does, not that it's a match, but just in some ways just does better mediumship work with more evidence and everything than most people out there. So if you ever get a chance to well, first of all, we'll give out a website while we're at it. So if you want to find out more about her, you can go to Lisa, M as in Mary, Lano, LANNO.com. So
hey,
go to her website.
You just said my mother's name. You just said Mary Lano. It kind of just brought a flashback here. That's my mother.
So no mediumship yet.
No. Okay. Sorry.
So... yeah, so she does lots of work. She actually does a lot of different TV shows and everything like that. And so make sure to go to her website and check out where she's going to be appearing next. It's absolutely incredible to sit in a gallery with her. A lot of people are kind of like, well, I didn't get a reading. And sometimes, you know what, if you listen to the messages that come through for other people, a lot of those messages are for everybody. It's just amazing the way that works. And I think if you do enough of those events, as a lot of mediums know, you find out that just the right people who need to get the readings actually get them. And if you really pay attention to that also, you can actually you can see that. So with that, you know, let me go ahead and just guide you through some questions here. Tell me a little bit about some of the media you're doing right now.
The excuse me. Okay. Well, I have a weekly Fox TV segment called Medium Mondays. It is on a local station. It's on Fox, Connecticut. But if anybody wanted to tune in, they could certainly tune in via internet, or they could, you know, mobile app or whatever if they wanted to check it out. Or it's there's always a link on my website, too, if you want to view clips. And what that is simply we have a guest. It's all complimentary. I like to make that known, is that they don't pay for it, and I don't get paid for the segment, nor do I pay for the segment. Somebody asked me recently, how much do I pay to be on Fox? And I said, oh, I don't pay. you know, I'm invited. So nobody gets any money for this. It's just to help out. And people come on every week, and I connect them. I say we because I'm, of course, using the universe and my guides and God and all the help I get. Connect them with somebody who has crossed or passed over and give them some messages, and I get to talk with them a little bit beforehand so that we know what's private and what can't be said on air and all that. And, you know, and that's a lot of fun. And then I do, is it okay to mention a radio show? It's got nothing to do with this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a Connecticut radio station called Jammin' 107.7. It's got the upbeat, you know, Usher and Beyonce and that kind of music. But I work with Miss L in the morning, and that's going to be a regular thing, once a month and maybe soon, maybe more. And that starts actually Friday, November 1st at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can call in, and the good thing about doing these shows like yours, it doesn't matter where you live. You could be on the other side of the world. If you want to call in for a reading, you can call in for a reading. So, again, that's all on my website. I do a local show called Mass Appeal, which is Mass for Massachusetts, and I'll be on there tomorrow. That's frequently, you know, seen frequently, and also another internet one that I'm on occasionally, which is Visions into the Past Paranormal Radio, and it doesn't conflict with your schedule. So, you know, lots of things going on, and if I've forgotten any, you can let me know.
That's great. Tell me about some, I know you've done some library work with stuff like that. Tell me about some of the fundraising you're doing, especially for animals.
Oh, my fun. Well, I'm an animal fanatic, as anybody who knows me knows. And it started with, I said, you know, I really want to do a fundraiser. Somebody asked me for a fundraiser. And I don't know how it came about, but it started with the Connecticut Cat Connection. And it's a shelter for strays and abandoned. And what they try to deal mostly with is people who, say the elderly, maybe have to go to a nursing home and they don't want to, you know, don't have the cat. What am I going to do with the cat? So they take the cats and they either adopt them out or they give them forever homes. Isn't that cute? Then it went to the Meriden Humane Society, which is a no-kill rescue in Connecticut. I do a lot in Connecticut because of Fox TV. I just worked with the Agawam Mass, with the Agawam Dog Park, raising funds for that. I've got an equine rescue. And my favorite, of course, is Kathy's Roddy Rescue, because as we all know, I am a big fan of Rottweilers, even though I have Chihuahuas. I'm a fan of Rottweilers. But it's just to help and raise money, and I'll do things at these events like I'll give away tarot readings, and I'll tell people, you know, for every 2 cans of dog food you bring, you get a raffle ticket. We raised like 150 cans at the last one, and it was just a small event. So the next one should be big. But I've done fundraisers for Dana-Farber and for, you know, I can't even think. Library. I did one for the library, South Hadley Library, where I live, to raise money for the news library. So anybody, the Norcross House, which is a historical building, any place that, you know, needs to raise money, people, it's different going to see medium. It's different than, you know, just going to a craft show or something. It's just a little different. But more animal fundraisers in the future, absolutely, coming up.
That's great. So let's do, you know, before we get into some questions, tell everybody about some of the work that you do that they can contact you through your website to book some appointments with you.
Okay, well, I do, obviously, one-on-ones. And, you know, if you don't live near me, there's always Skype or phone, which is just as accurate. People say, is that accurate? Yes, it's accurate. I do, obviously, psychic work, which is, as people say, is that predicting the future? And you know, Mark, as well as I do, that every psychic, just like every doctor, is put here for a different reason. Some psychics will tell you exactly what's going to happen in 5 years, and some psychics will, you know, completely tell you something different. It seems that where I was put was in the role of guidance. And maybe it's because I'm older. You know, I'll be 60 in a couple months. I was going to say a few, but now it's just a couple. the big one's coming up. And I will help people with their life path. So if they have questions about their love life, their finances, you know, I can help you and I can, quote, predict. However, it always comes with the, this is still your life, this is still your path, these are still your decisions. So if you have a great opportunity for a great job, but you don't send your resume out, you just sit there, you can't come back to me or you, right, in 6 months and say it never happened. So that's, you know, my psychic readings. And yeah, I do predict things like, you know, I see this many kids for you or I see that for you. But it's still that person's choice if they decide not to have children, you know. My mediumship work, of course, is talking with the other side. And that, I tell people, you can ask for whoever you want to speak with, or you can, sometimes I'll feel somebody around them, but most of the time it's come in, tell me you want to talk to your grandpa or your grandma. And you're right, I'm not trained, so I don't have any definite ways of starting or finishing. I just say, let's wing it. Like I do life, let's just wing it. And we are opposite because you're very scheduled and I'm very, I don't know, let's just wing it, you know. So But as long as we get the same results, who cares? I also have, I do handwriting analysis, which is scientific. However, when a psychic medium reads your handwriting, you're going to get some of that thrown in. It just can't help it. Hmm. And that is analyzing your personality traits and love matches, things like that. So somebody's in a new relationship, let's say. They can send me a copy of their handwriting, a copy of their significant other's handwriting, and I can tell you pretty much how it's going to play out without using the psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And then I have my my paranormal team, and we are ghost hunters. Good old
Excellent.
Ghost hunters, just like you see on TV.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to
get into
that.
Huh?
So let's before we go there, let's talk about some of the basics. So what is the difference between a psychic and a medium?
Okay, well, like I tell people, everybody's psychic to some degree. Every person listening has had a gut feeling, has had a, I shouldn't, I think I like that person, I shouldn't get in the car. Everybody's had that. So that's your psychic, your sixth sense kicking in. Some of us are gifted a little bit more in that, but we may not be gifted in some other area. So when I say we're gifted with that, that means that somebody else is, who isn't, is gifted with something else. They might be, I don't know, great with science or math or architecture or something that, you know, I couldn't do if I had to. So we all have our gifts. We all have our talents. And do you ever get people saying that they all want to be psychic? And you think, well, there's a bunch of psychics running around. Nobody get the food cooked or the stuff. You know, we wouldn't have people that like the long-haul truck drive. And, you know, we'd get nothing done. So mm-hmm. we can't all be the same. But that's a psychic. A psychic can predict things, see a little bit more into the future. A medium is somebody who can simply talk to the other side, talk to the dead. And there is one rule I follow that I do believe, and that is that all mediums are psychics and not all psychics are mediums. Because you know me. You tell me a rule and I'm the first one to bend it and break it and say, no, I don't believe that. But that one, I believe that one's true. If you're not a medium, you're not.
I think that's pretty true. I think, you know, generally I tell people that I can pretty much teach anything. I can teach healing. I can teach intuition. I can teach card readings, you know, pretty much everything.
Right.
You cannot teach mediumship. The person
no.
has to have the,
yep.
you know, what I would call the vibration or the frequency to be able
exactly.
to make that connection. Yeah.
You know what I tell people? I don't know if this is something you might want to think about, but what I do tell people with mediumship when they say they want to learn, and I tell them the exact same word for word what you said, but I tell them, you know, I can help you to be more open to, let's say, receiving messages from your mother or your father, that you won't need to come to me when you say, gee, you know what, I felt like my mother's presence was with me and that she was saying it's okay to do something. And I'll tell my clients, well, you know what? You just received a message from your mother, and you interpreted it without me. You know, and you can do that with people that are very close to you. And I tell them, you know, I can teach you that, but I can't teach you, you know, I just tested somebody the other day, and Crystal on my team. And I said, it's time. Let's test you. And I asked her to bring in somebody from my family, and I'll be darned. She described my mother to a T. I asked her if there was somebody with her. She described my Aunt Rose. And I said, Auntie, can you give her a flower, please? And she said, I see a pink rose. And I said, yeah, well, her name was Rose. And, you know, she described my mother in pink. And I said, you know, it's still slightly unconfirmed, but I think you're a medium. I can't teach her that, you know? So my little protege here.
Wow. So the next question that a lot of people ask me is, what is the difference between ghosts and people who have passed over?
Okay. When I do a gallery event, I use the terms ghosts and spirits, just so that the audience will know the difference. And I tell them there's no right or wrong term. Some people call them earthbounds and maybe that's more politically correct. But I just say, you know, just to get it straight, we're going to say ghosts and spirits. We're here to talk to your spirit, friends, and relatives. Ghost would be somebody who is deceased but has not crossed over to the other side, to the afterlife. the next question is always, why? People have a lot of misunderstanding, and they think that if you've committed suicide, if you've died violently, if it's a child that was killed or something, that you automatically become a ghost. And the only way I can disprove that is by saying that I've talked to suicides. The first person I ever made contact with on the other side was a suicide victim. I've talked to missing and murdered children and young adults that have violent deaths. And you know, because you know some of them that I'm talking about. And they come through just fine. So that I want to definitely get that out there for the people who have had tragedies in their family and maybe don't want to go to a medium or can't afford to go to a medium, just to reassure you that, trust me, they're okay. There are some that do become ghosts. There are some that don't know they're dead. They just don't know. Mm-hmm. And what I always say is, when somebody's going to pass, I always say, you know, I really pray for once they open their eyes again that somebody's there that they recognize. Like if you blacked out right now and woke up and saw your apartment and your house and everything the same way, your cat, your dog, your wife, your husband, everything the same, you might not know. But if you woke up and saw your mother and you know she's dead, it's like, oh, I get it. So I think that's one of the reasons that they come for us. But there are those that don't know they're dead, don't want to cross because they're simply happy here. Mm-hmm. They know they're dead, but they're happy. They want to stay and look over things. And then there are those I have run into on the ghost hunting side that are afraid to cross because they've done some pretty nasty things. We try to get them to cross, but that's another subject.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, for the ones that do want to cross, how easy is it to cross somebody?
Sometimes it's very easy, sometimes it's not. We just crossed a little boy last week. The family was saying that they keep seeing a little girl, and I kept seeing a little boy. And the little girl seemed to be older than the little boy. And I do the whole, for the people that have watched the TV shows, have you, I don't know if you've ever personally ever seen Paranormal State when Chip Coffey was on?
Yeah, I don't watch any of those shows.
Okay, well, what they'll do is they will send, and he's wonderful. He's a great man. I love him. Great medium. They will send a psychic a medium in cold and say, okay, you tell us what you feel. We're not going to tell you anything. And that was basically what we did. And I didn't pick up on the little girl, but the little boy that I described looked like the little girl, only younger. So we deduced that more than likely, and we did get some actual evidence on recordings that this was probably his sister. And I said, he doesn't see her. And we tried to get him to turn around and look and see who was calling him, who was like, just take her hand, she's going to take you over, you know. That's where the medium comes in. You say, okay, the kid loves apple pie and his little dog Sparky is over on the other side, so, you know. And then you just feel, I can't even explain it, you feel a change in the atmosphere. And he was so easy to cross. And then they said they have this like a vortexy area where they kept getting, one of the meters kept going off, and they said it's gone. Others are not so easy. Some of them are stubborn. Some of them will just look at you like, I'm not going. And we can't, you know, they are still humans, and they still have that choice. So we can't always cross them. I've had people that have had to vacate their homes because the ghosts won't go, and they're mean.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be that there's some people out there who believe that there is a middle place, that there's this where we are now, and then there's passing over to the other side. And there's a belief for some people that there's a middle place that some people call the Bardo, which is kind of like a place where people kind of sit. Do you get the sense of anything like that, or do you generally feel that you're either a ghost here, you're either physically here, a ghost here, or your spirit?
I can only tell you what my experience is, and I'm always the first one to say that I could be wrong because I certainly don't have all the answers. But everybody that I have encountered is either physically here, on the other side, or a ghost. So I've never personally experienced anybody in that waiting room area. All I can think of is the waiting room in Beetlejuice. And that movie, you know, it's Halloween. Got to put a little humor on things. But it's no disrespect for those who do believe that, because, again, I'm not an expert. I am and I'm not. Let's just put it this way. I'm humble enough to admit that I could be wrong. But
yeah.
I have never in all the, I don't know how many readings, hundreds and hundreds of readings, experienced when I can say, no, you know what, he opened his eyes and he saw so-and-so. Or he opened his eyes, dead, of course, in this car. And I remember one specifically, and usually I don't see angels. And I said, I see an angel coming down for him. And it turned out, if I'm not mistaken, that the kid's name was Angel. And he had a super, super strong belief in angels. So it made sense, you know, because, you know, when you're doing readings, you don't want to just say, oh, yeah, grandma's fine. They're at peace. They're with the angels. You know, that'll be $20 here. You know, you can't do that. You have to give them validations. So I've never experienced it. So
wow.
I can't say.
So, you know, going back to a little bit about your hindsight and everything like that, did you always know that you were gifted, or did it really come about during the death of your oldest daughter's best friend?
I knew that there was something different about me from age, I want to say, 9. I didn't know what. I just figured, I don't know, maybe I'm just a typical Aquarius. We do beat to a different drum. But I thought I was always a little bit, my mother used to say I was odd. And I to this day, I don't like that word. God bless her. She was a sweetheart. But she didn't understand. Well, she did and she didn't. Very supportive parents, I must say, though. Very, very wonderful parents. And I knew I was a little different. I never fit in. I didn't know why. I just never fit in. And as a teenager, I just started to get interested in what they used to call the occult. Now, remember, this is way back. And
yep.
I lived 20 minutes from Salem, so, of course, that didn't help. The only problem was back then, what did you do? I remember looking through the yellow pages for parapsychologists because I had nowhere to go. You know, and I used to tell my parents I want to go to Duke University because they had a parapsychology department. You know, I just, there was, what do you do with it? So I used to, as a kid, and I don't remember to this day how it started, but I'd play with my tarot cards, try to do readings, and then I would just start telling somebody, wow, your room's messy. And they'd say, what? I'd say, your room. You have a brown blanket and it's just all crumbled and thrown on. How'd you know that? I don't know. So I'd close my eyes and they'd say, okay, what's in my living room? Well, I was remote viewing and I didn't know what it was called. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Again, I'm not taught. So I became the party favorite. You know, let's go talk to Lisa. But I didn't know it was psychic. I just didn't understand what the heck it was. It was just fun. And then I always say life got in the way. You know, I got married. I had kids. And when the kid, 3 of them, and when they started to get older, one of their friends walked by me, poor girl, I'll never forget this, and I said to her, "What? You're pregnant." And she said, she was like 17. She said, no, I said, yeah, you're pregnant. And I think to this day she's afraid to walk by me, and she's 35. Remember when you told me I was pregnant? I'm like, well, I'm sorry. So that started, well, what's going to happen? Well, what about this? What about that? But as far as speaking to the dead, I was always deathly afraid of dead people and ghosts. And being from an old Italian family, people would say, did they make you kiss your grandma? Because that's what they used to do back in the old country. They'd, you know, make you say goodbye to your grandma. And I said, no, they didn't even allow me to go to the funeral when I was 10. They wouldn't even let me go. So I had this unnatural fear of scary things, of ghosts. And I'm an only child. I didn't have an older brother who scared me. My parents were so protective. I mean, we used to watch the Lawrence Welk show. I mean, come on. Well, that's scary in of its own, but different kind of scary. You know, when you're 9, 10, you wanted to watch Ed Sullivan, not Lawrence Welk. But anyway, I digress. I had an unnatural fear, and I didn't understand why. And the very first person I talked to, now that I look back, was my husband, and I didn't realize it. It was when he was on life support, because he died suddenly, and he was brain dead, and I all I could think of was the movie Ghostbusters, and he's flying around the room like Slimer going, come on, I got people to see and places to go and unhook me from this contraption. But I thought it was because it was my husband that I could hear him, you know. But now I look back and say I really was talking to him. But the actual first person, yep, it was my daughter's friend. And I was 55 years old. Talk about a late bloomer.
Wow.
Good grief. So, yes, if I had the ability, yeah. If it had come out when I was a teenager, my parents were so protective and loving yet supportive that they probably would have done what most parents would have done, take me to a doctor, and I probably would have been dead by now. Because I really feel like it was kept back for my own protection because my poor parents would not have known what to do. They weren't religious. They, you know, I was Catholic, but they weren't religious. But they just wouldn't have known. They probably would have thought, oh, our poor little girl is sick. We need to take her to the psychiatrist. And those kind of drugs, when given to a medium or psychic, we don't need our mind expanded any more than it is. I feel like on a psychic level that I would have committed suicide. That's
wow.
What my gut tells me. So,
so
it was held back.
Yeah, so tell me about guides for a second.
Our guides, our spirit guides. Well, as you know, we all have, and I always tell people again, this is my belief. If you don't want to believe it, then that's up to you. You're all going to go cross to the other side anyway. But we make this deal before we come from heaven, other side, wherever you want to call it, and come into a body here. And the best way I can liken it to is me saying, you and I are on the other side, and I say, Mark, you know how bad I am with directions, which could actually happen, Mark, I'm warning you. Mark, I'm really bad with directions. Yeah, at least I know you are. Well, I'm going to take this big journey. I'm going to drive from Massachusetts to Canada in January. What are you, crazy? I'll tell you what. I'm going to put on the microphone, and you put your headphones on, and I've got this great GPS system, and I'm going to let you know when there's a storm and where to get off at the exit, when to pull over for the night. And I've got my, you know, my volume turned up, so I'm listening. So that's my gut. Now I go on this journey, which is you coming into a body and being born, and then you start to get that gut feeling. I really should pull over. That's my Mark, my guide, talking to me, telling me to pull over. Then those times that we don't listen are the times that we end up sliding on the ice of life because we didn't listen to our gut or our guide because, well, maybe we're driving, we get the radio on too loud. And we've all done it. We've all not listened. But that's the person that I always tell my clients, when you have a problem and you want an answer, ask your guides. Because they say over and over, and I can't get this out enough, I asked my grandmother, she won't help me. And the grandmother's going, it's not my job. I'll look over you, but it's not my job to help find you a job. Ask your guide. That's what he or she's there for. So that's what I tell people. Just give it up to your guide. And ask for the wisdom to be able to see the answer when they give it to you. I think that makes sense, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Tell me how you...
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, tell me how you use your guide with your mediumship work.
Well, my main guide is Charlie. He's from Spain, and he looks like Jim Morrison from The Doors. Why, I don't know. And the reason I'm saying it is because he's right here with me saying, don't forget to tell them what I look like. I think Charlie has a bit of he likes the mirror. Definitely likes the mirror. Said, okay, Charlie, you happy I told them what you look like? And he's just, yeah, sounds good to me. I will ask, he's there to guide me. I've gotten to a point where I don't have to have him necessarily open the door to let the spirits come in, but he's always there for me if somebody's giving me trouble, which has happened on occasion. I'm talking about the real people, where I see him brush his hands and back up and say, just stop, and it's for my own protection. Or when I do gallery events, especially, I rely on him a night or two before, and again, we all do our jobs differently, and a night or two before, I will sit down with my computer and say, Charlie, okay, I'm going to be at, I've got an event coming up on the 3rd. I'll say, all right, I'm going to have this thing tomorrow, so I want you to bring me through any spirits that want to come through, one at a time, please, unless it's a couple, and let me know. And I can see him opening a door, and he lets somebody in. And I might see them physically, or he might sometimes show me a scenario. And I take those little notes down. And when I do the event, you've seen me do this, I will say I have a, I had a guy, last event I just did, I called him the Whistling Birdhouse Grandpa. And I said, this is specific. This guy keeps whistling, which drives me insane. And he's painting birdhouses. And he was older, and he's showing me all, he showed me his backyard. And it was somebody's grandfather. I mean, it was a very specific one. From that, one spirit brought in another. So I rely on Charlie to be my sort of gatekeeper, and with my, because you asked about the mediumship, and to help me to keep it focused, I rely on him when I go to a grocery store not to hear, see, or feel what's going on with the people in line, because I don't want to do that. I'm there to grocery shop. I do this full-time. This is my full-time work. So I'm immersed in the paranormal 24/7. So when I go to shop, the last thing I want to do is see whose grandmother's standing behind somebody, you know. So, or walk by somebody and feel that they have cancer and they're going to die. So Charlie shuts that off for me, and I'm very thankful, or I'd be more crazy than I already am.
Okay. Let's just take a quick break. For anybody who's just tuning in now, we just want to let you know this is pre-recorded, so we are not taking any phone calls this evening. You're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio with Mark Rawson. We have Lisa Lano on as our guest this evening. If you missed any part of the show, you can get it off of the replays off of the website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So tell me about poltergeists.
Poltergeists. You mean what they call mischievous ghosts?
Yeah, bad behaving ghosts. The ones that movies are made out of that scare people.
Right. And again, this is just my opinion. I think ghosts are ghosts. And some of them are mischievous on purpose. But I find more often than not, they're trying to get your attention. So if they have four people in a room and they, all I could say is, I know you like the color orange. Let's say you had all these orange accents and you've got your office just so, and it's, you know, blacks and grays and whites and oranges. Would that be, that'd be about accurate for you, yeah?
Yeah.
I think. So you're sitting there and you've got your office all organized and orderly and, you know, people are coming in and they start trashing the place. And then they start painting, you know, Patriots and Green Bay Packers and things. And then you're flipping out going, oh, my God, what the heck are you guys doing? What are you doing in my office? What? I like my orange. Stop. Now nobody's listening. So you decide to throw something. And one of them says, what was that? Something just went by my head. And the other three are going, you're crazy, dude. You're crazy. Well, you're going to stick to that one, because that you want that one to get that one's attention. Maybe you're going to hide their keys. Maybe you're going to play tricks on them. Maybe you're going to scare them, touch them, whisper in their ear. Most of the time I feel that, at least in what I've encountered, they want attention. Sometimes the children will do that, the child ghosts, because they're being kids. You know, they're just being kids. We found a bunch of them in Connecticut at that Dark Manor. Oh, my gosh. Haunted Halloween attraction that, you know, you pay your money and you go in and they scare you. The place is really haunted. It's got real ghosts, and they got a bunch of kids in there. And they're mischievous. They run around and they play, and I wouldn't be surprised if people tripped over them, you know. So they have different theories, too, obviously, you know, that where people, they feel that people can manifest things. I'm on the fence because I haven't seen it about manifesting things. But I kind of lean towards not really getting into that too much. Am I saying it's not possible? No, absolutely. I would never say anything's impossible. But they're just mischievous. Most of them, they just want to. They want something.
Mm.
Whatever way they've got to do it.
I think you said earlier that there was a house that basically had so much problems in it that the people had to move out. Tell me what that looked like.
What you mean, what it looked like or what happened? You mean what happened?
Yeah, like, you know, what caused it to be such a bad situation that someone would physically have to move out?
Well, people always think that it's, they say, well, nobody died here. Well, nobody has to die there. Or they say, but this house is only built 20 years ago. You know, you're on land, and don't forget, a ghost can move around. You know, they can move around. What this particular ghost, in one case, was following the person. So what had happened was, and I'll try to be brief with it, was we got a call from a woman who felt as if she was being not touched physically to be molested, but she felt that somebody was pinning her down. And she said she felt as though, because I asked her, I said, do you feel it was that he was going to hurt you or kill you? And she said, I feel it was sexual. I said, okay, you know, we just listened to everything. We did an actual investigation with the equipment, because they can, ghosts, unlike spirits who have crossed, a ghost can come through on the recorders, on the K2 meters, on the different machines. Whereas I could sit here for 24 hours straight and talk to my husband. His voice is not going to come through. He's on the other side. He's in a different dimension. He's in a different frequency. I can hear him in my head. But the ghost will actually speak or touch something or throw something, you know. And we were getting all this evidence, and I just went into medium mode and decided that this is what he looked like and this was his name and so on and so forth. Well, the girl who was being bothered was sitting on her bed, and we were talking about, she said, I don't know how he's going to feel because I have a new boyfriend now. This girl, I saw her go flying off the bed. She was sitting cross-legged, Indian style, in the middle of a very comfortable, big, fluffy mattress and went flying. I mean, there's no way you could have made this up. When we got her to go back in the room, I had my arms around three sides of her, and I said, how dare you? You do not touch her. I have my arms around her. Well, that so-and-so came up behind her and slammed her in the back, because that's where my arms weren't, and pushed her into me. We both went flying. I mean, I could feel the impact. This guy just would not let up, wouldn't stop, and we found out from the neighbor upstairs. He said to me, you said he had an R name? I wrote a name down, and it better not be this. And I said, well, his name is Ralph. He shows me the paper. The name was Ralph. I have the guy on video. This is a 240-pound man. I thought he was going to pass out. Ralph, and I described him. Ralph, as it turned out, had been he had raped this gentleman's mother and sister back in the 70s. And I saw him with a bullet in his head. That isn't why he died. That's how he died. And it turns out that there was some mob thing, and he was shot in the head. You know, it's a big drama type thing. And I said, he is afraid to cross. I could see crosses, and he was afraid to go over. And he wouldn't go. But he also wouldn't behave himself. So these poor people had to move out. After they moved, her and the boyfriend got married. They're expecting their second baby, and they're happy. So whatever happened to Ralph, I don't know. I can't get back into that apartment. I don't know who lives there. So all we can do is, you know, pray that the people living there are not bothered, and that Ralph finds his way to the other side. He said he was afraid. He's afraid to meet his maker because he was so bad, you know. So that was one instance where it was following. But sometimes they just won't leave the area. They won't leave the land, you know. Mm. I mean, do you really think if you went to Germany and found the ghost of Adolf Hitler, you think he'd be nice? You really think he'd want to go, okay, I want to go cross over and be happy now and be on the other side and be a good man? Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
So
that was just one of our experiences.
Excuse me. So I guess I probably already know the answer to this, but there's no way that Charlie could protect you from that since it was an Earth-based energy?
I feel that we ask for angels. We ask for more than just Charlie. We always ask for angels to protect us, and I feel very confident when I go into these places that the angels will let us know. Sometimes you need the big guns. A lot of that is done for my own benefit, I feel like there are things that Charlie's going to let me experience. Do I feel like he would have let me fall down the stairs and break my leg? No. I feel like I would have been protected. But to be pushed or to be scratched or touched, that's not going to kill me, but that is going to give us more belief, because I can say it happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the things don't happen to me. I say, well, how come you guys are touching everybody? I don't get poked. And they say, because you can see us. You can hear us. I'm thinking, well, that's just kind of not fair. I want to be part of the fun. You know, throw something at me.
On the job training.
Yeah, well, so, we the last investigation we just did, I don't know if you met Walt, but our friend Walt was – we were at the Dark Manor, and like I said, it's a Halloween attraction. And he was in the body room, which is an attraction. And he was totally grabbed around the ankle to the point where he lifted the thing up and he said, knock it off, Wayne. And Wayne was in another room. So, and of course I was jealous. How come I didn't get grabbed around the ankle? That's not fair, but, you know. But yes, I do think Charlie would protect me, or at least – actually, you know what? You're right. You're right, Mark, now that you mentioned it. He did help me. It was at Colt Firearms. I walked into a spot, and I wouldn't go any further. I could hear Charlie say, don't go. Don't go over there. And the girl I was with wanted to go, and I physically grabbed her and said, you're not going there. You will – something – and it was all broken glass, and I said, you will have broken glass thrown at you. Let's get out of here. And as we were saying that, the other investigators outside, it was a room where you had to step up and step into it, which is not good. You all know how much of a klutz I am. The other investigators had an ovulus going, like a spirit box type thing. And it was saying things like, get out, danger, run. And it was nothing that I was saying. Those were not words that I was saying. So, yes, Charlie did protect me. He gave me the insight to know, you can't, don't go there. So that, yeah, he does protect me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
so
you for making
me
think.
Tell me how Gone Paranormal got started.
Actually got started from somebody that you know, not that we're going to mention, no, nobody in your family, and obviously no names, but very briefly I did a reading for a woman, lovely woman, and after the reading was done, she wanted to connect with a grandmother, I think it was an aunt, but it was like a grandmother, and I connected, and I said, I just keep seeing this old man and this young man, and he's sitting in a room, and he doesn't know he's in the room, and, you know, I described this situation to her. I said, he doesn't know that the guy is trying to get him to come up with him. What's going on? And she said, keep going, and I told her, and she said, that's my brother. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a suicide. I believe. I could be wrong. And the man was the grandfather. I said, if he would just turn around and look up, he could cross. And my daughter and I went over there, had no clue what we were doing, and crossed him. And there's never been an issue since. I told her that the specific scent of something that he loved would come through, and she said, oh, my God, he loved that. And I said, well, that's what you're going to smell from the other side. And some other validations came in, so we decided, well, that was cool. Then we went to visit the Belchertown Library, the Clapp Memorial Library, and we were invited, I don't know how, but they invited us to come in and investigate. And that was our first investigation where we found some ghosts that absolutely will not leave. And I said, well, let's just have a team. And that's how we got started.
Hmm.
It's my daughter and me.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about ghosts and investigation?
I don't know. Give me something to go on, and I'll tell you, because I'm not quite sure.
Well, let's start with something easy.
It's so broad.
Yeah, let's start with something easy. Everybody thinks they're taking pictures of orbs.
Oh, jeez. Okay. No, you're taking pictures of dust particles, reflections, and you're taking pictures of moisture. And if I had a nickel for every orb I've come across, I would have a big fat bank account, because I tell people, back when I was young, our cameras did not pick these things up. Oh, but it's right over so-and-so, and it was Grandma's birthday. I know. It's perfectly round. It's bright, or it's dull, or it has colors. It's dust. It's just, and I tell people, if you don't believe me, go to a window when the sun is shining in and just look, and you're going to see all kinds of particles. I don't care how clean your house is. You're going to see particles in the air. That's what your camera's picking up. There's a big difference between that and real orbs, you know, and they are not perfectly round. And there's usually some other evidence to go with it. I've actually got some pictures. We have a paranormal, I call it a paranormal Facebook, but it's a community, free. It's called 308am.com, and it's just for the paranormal-minded. You can post, you can share stories, you can look at photos. I've got video on there, and anybody can post and share and comment. And you'll see.
Go ahead and repeat that website again.
It's the numbers 308am.com.
Excellent.
308am.
So what is the most interesting thing you've seen on a gone paranormal investigation?
Oh, I'd say one of the most interesting is at Colt Firearms, and we're very fortunate to be the I don't think we were the first. I think somebody else had gone in there before us, but there are no more groups allowed in there, so we had the place for the night. It was great. this was in one of the abandoned buildings, but it was the one where they were, this is in January, of course, we have to go do this, you know, on my birthday and freeze to death. and that week it was single digits that week. Yeah, it was cold, to say the least. Down in the basement, you know, of the building, and this was boarded up, so it wasn't where there, it was not windy, but there was no air coming in. It was the building where you could get to it from the building that had already been renovated. You went through the elevator, down the hall, into where they were renovating, and there were steel, huge, thick steel doors. Well, some of the people kept seeing a shadow of a kid. Of course, I don't get to see this stuff. I feel them, but I never see it. And they kept saying, there's a little kid, keeps popping his head in and out. So one of the girls took her camera and just snapped a picture. And the steel doors went slam. And everybody was going, oh, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to scare you. We apologize. And the doors reopened again. And it's all on video. It was just one of the...
Is that up on your website?
I do not have that one up yet because I have to convert it from a Mac. But one of the things that I have, and I'm going to be putting more and more stuff up. Right now it's on 308. I don't have it on my website yet. But at Dark Manor, we made contact with, we kept calling him Native American and he wouldn't answer. And I said to him, are you an Indian? And he answered. And it was a man whose children had died. And we asked him, what happened? Were they killed? And, you know, and I kept seeing what happened. And I said, they were sick, weren't they? And it went to red. We had the K2 meter going. That's that little remote control looking thing with the lights that go from green to yellow to orange to red. And I said to him, was it the white man, somebody said, and it went to red. And we said to him, the people that were here, were they big, huge people that were blonde? Because I'm thinking, you know, maybe it was when the Vikings came, and it didn't go off. And somebody else said, were they the pilgrims? And it went crazy. So the guy's children got sick from a white man's disease and died. But in that same room, and this is up on, I don't even know if it's up on my website yet, but it might be. Remember, I'm doing this all myself, so I apologize for the delay. But it is up on 308. We took a picture, and you can clearly see the outline of somebody standing there. I mean, you can't, it doesn't look like a person, but you can see that it's an outline, and you see these two guys, this was during one of the investigations that we did with the public, pointed inwards, looking at this thing, like, because we were saying, is somebody in the chair? And the meters were going crazy, and then somebody just took a picture, and there was somebody standing right there. It was just crazy. You know, so we've gotten some amazing evidence. And you know, be wary, because it's very, very, very easy to fake it. All you have to do is text on your cell phone, and your K2 meters will go crazy. So when I have a meter, and it's going and going and going, excuse me, the first thing I'll say to somebody is, do you have your cell phone in your pocket? No, but it's right there on the table. Okay, let's do an experiment. I'm going to text you. Because sometimes it's electronic, so it's good to show that the cell phones are over here, you know, and the certain questions are being answered, and to get other evidence along with it. Because above all, even though I'm in the spirit world, I don't think everything's paranormal. I want to debunk it first and say, well, let's look for an explanation. Your lights are blinking. Have you called your electric department and made sure to check that it's not an electrical problem? That's important. So.
Okay. So we're getting ready to wrap up the show. Is there a message you'd like to give to everybody?
About
just life or life lessons in
just
general.
Life in general. Just positive thinking. I've been through a lot personally, like everybody else in this world. And to just stay positive and stay focused, ask for help from your guides, leave things in their hands. Say, you know what, I'm going to leave this with you, and then let go of it. And you will be answered in one way, shape, or form. Do the best you can to help others. Do something good every day. I know that sounds cliche, but even if it's smiling, you could smile at somebody in the grocery store, and that person could have just been thinking that they wanted to die and kill themselves because there's no nice people in the world. You might have saved somebody's life.
Wow.
So I'll leave
thank
you with
you,
that.
Thank you, Lisa. For...
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for being on the show. And go ahead and give out that website again. That's what, 308am.com?
That's that one. And then there's goneparanormal.com, which is mine. Mm-hmm. And also Lisa M. Lano, L-A-N-N-O. .com, and all my contact is on there, and you can Facebook me too, of course, Lisa Lano or Gone Paranormal.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Lisa. It's a great having you on and talking to you and catching up, and lots
thank
of love
you,
to
you. Mark.
Okay.
You too.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Life is but a dream.